Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I'm so excited to be here for our eighth season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it. And it was one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is an honor and a privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share. And I'm super duper pumped about my guest here with me today, Kayla Simone Fowler. She, her, is a chef and food writer living in NYC. She founded the Dine Well Supper Club, a dining experience that platforms queer guest chefs from all corners of the culinary world. She writes about food, culture, politics on her Substack Dine Well, and she's a regular contributor to Serious Eats. When she's not cooking for private clients or writing, you can find her being happily mediocre at various creative hobbies and petting every animal in sight. Kayla, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, every animal, every single one.
Do you have a preference?
Oh my God. People are always like, cats or dogs, cats or dogs. And I'm like, apples and oranges, apples and oranges. Like, I love them for different reasons. I've had like all kinds of animals in my life. Most recently, I had a cat. She passed last year, RIP, Dinah. And I think cats work well for my lifestyle, but like, I fucking love dogs. And I'm also like horses, goats, chicken, you know, kind of like the queer woman stereotype where I'm like, I just want a farm and I want, yeah, I want like sheep that I can milk and a garden and might want to cut that out. That was really dorky. But yeah, all the animals.
If you do you really want that cut out? Because we can.
I don't know.
I didn't think it was dorky.
Okay. That's good. Well, okay. we'll circle back.
Sounds
yeah.
good. What are some of your okay. creative hobbies that you do mediocrely?
I feel like I identify as kind of a crazy artist. I've done like almost every sort of like art form that there is. Obviously, like I write a lot. I've been writing in some form just like for pleasure like my whole life, and then more recently I started doing it, you know, like more professionally, which has been kind of a dream of mine. So that's very exciting. But I've also been dancing pretty much my whole life. For the last like decade or so, I've been on and off dancing salsa and like at like Afro Latin dance in general. So like bachata and cha-cha and stuff like that. That's been really, really fun. I also do music. I'm kind of like an amateur singer, mainly jazz, total music dork, a little bit of a jazz nerd, kind of closet jazz nerd. Yeah, what else? I've also done like I did photography in college. I've done painting. I kind of like it all, and I definitely approach food in a very like artistic way too. I'm definitely like not a science girl. I'm kind of like a crazy art girl. So yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that sounds great.
It's cute.
I've just like recently started getting into jazz.
Ooh.
And so I'd be curious if you have any tips on like where to go see good live jazz in the city.
Oh.
I also this is like an embarrassing story that I'll tell you, which is
Yes.
about dancing,
We
which
love
is
embarrassing stories.
yes. Okay, so I went to this DJ Questlove tribute to Prince a couple weeks ago,
Oh my
and
God. Yeah.
it was incredible. And we were just, me and my friend Brian were just like cutting up a rug, dancing our asses off. And I was like, I just like looked around and every single person was just doing their own thing and dancing and having a great time. And I was like, Brian, is this what people do when they say they're going dancing? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I had no
Oh.
idea. I didn't know what it meant when people were like, I like to go dancing. And so I was like,
Yeah.
so I was like, so tomorrow I can say I went dancing last night? He's like, yeah. So I
Yeah.
just like discovered what it is to go dancing and I'm obsessed with it.
Isn't it the best? Like, it's
Yes.
funny because I have sort of had a similar experience because, again, like, I grew up dancing. So I grew up like performing, like learning choreography, performing. I was also a gymnast. I like say I'm a recovering gymnast, recovering child gymnast. But so like going dancing for me, and especially since I've been in my like Afro Latin dance like era or whatever, has usually meant going to like what they call like dance socials, where like everyone there dances salsa and you kind of pick a partner for a song, you dance the song together, and then at the end usually you like hug and then you go your separate ways. But it's like you are all speaking the same kind of like, for lack of a better word, like dance language. Like we all know the basic step. We all have like taken classes. We all kind of like know how to like lead and follow in our like various roles. But I actually feel like I didn't really realize until somewhat recently that there's like another way to go dancing, and that's like going to like the club.
Yes,
Where
exactly.
there's
Yes.
just music playing, yeah,
Yes.
and you just like kind of fucking like get down. And I was like, oh, I've totally like done that, but I didn't realize like that's what that is. That's what that was. So yeah, we have totally gone dancing, Dubs. We are people who like to go dancing. So
We are.
yeah.
And like what a fun little
Yeah.
discover what a fun discovery. And also where in our education did we
Right?
miss the memo that going dancing means going dancing?
Right? It's so silly, 1000%. I also feel like just to like piggyback onto that, like something that I've also realized sort of as I've gotten older, I'm 38, so I'm like kind of an old lady now, but is that as people get older, I feel like people stop doing their hobbies, you know, and there's this whole thing about like, oh, everything we do now has to be like monetized and you have to get really good at it and maybe like go somewhere with it or do something with it. And we've forgotten how to just kind of like do the stuff that we love and like be bad at it and just do it because like we enjoy it. You know, it's like dancing, singing, like drawing, painting, like those used to be things that humans for like eons just like did because that was just stuff that like humans do. But now we're like, well, you know, like even like in my like salsa, like quote unquote career, my like amateur whatever, people are like, oh, so like, are you gonna teach? Are you gonna like join a team and perform? I used to be on teams, and I just like I can't do it anymore. It's just like too much anxiety, too much drama, like whatever. I'm tired. I don't have that kind of energy anymore. But people are always like, oh, so like where are you gonna take it? And I'm like, nowhere, dude. Like I just like doing it. And I feel like people forget that. I think that like especially as people get older and they like settle down, have partners, start doing the sort of like, oh, marriage and family thing, and then they're like, oh yeah, I used to dance, or like I used to be in a band or X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, you can still do that, you know? Like you can totally still do it. But yeah, so that I'm here to say keep doing your hobbies and be bad at them and like just, you know, it's part of being human. Let's be human.
Let's just be human. I have this
Yeah.
sticker that literally says, just be a nice human.
You know what? I feel like it's just not that hard, but
It's really
we forget.
not. We forget
Yeah, we
sometimes.
forget. Yeah.
Well, I could talk about hobbies all day.
Yeah, me
And
too.
I love that. And my latest hobby is just like collecting art and trinkets and just like leaning into whimsy. And I
Leaning
just,
into whimsy.
yeah.
My friend has told me that I am what she calls tchotchke pilled.
Okay.
I fucking love a tchotchke, and like you are looking at my room right now, you can maybe see I have so much like weird art. I have like crystals everywhere and like little shells, and then like, you know, a like an evil eye thing my friend gave me, and I have like little candles and little figurines, and people come to my house sometimes and they're like, "Are you like a hoarder?" And I'm like, "No, I just like pretty things, and I love tchotchkes." It's actually something I inherited from my mom. My mom also is tchotchke filled. so I identify as that now. Yeah,
Are
I'm a
you
tchotchke girl.
saying
Yeah.
filled or pilled?
Oh, pilled. So like instead of like red pilled,
Oh,
it's like
tchotchke pilled.
tchotchke
Yeah.
pilled.
I'm for sure tchotchke pilled.
Yeah.
And so my dad is
Yeah.
also. And
Yeah.
so
Runs in the family. It's genetic.
I definitely have like little figurines and just stuff everywhere, but this is my favorite. It's a
Yeah.
coaster. And
Oh
so when
my
you
gosh.
it's hard to show you when it's okay, when it's nothing's on it. Little dude looks like this, and then when you put your
Yeah.
drink on it, this is what it looks like.
Oh my
Yeah,
God, little dude gets excited.
isn't
Oh,
that so
well, for
fun?
the people listening, it is a turtle. It is a very cool turtle coaster that gets excited when you put something on its back. I
Thank you for
love
that.
that. I might need one. yeah,
Yeah.
actually, I just had a housewarming party. Like, I think I mentioned it when we first started talking that I moved recently, but I just had a housewarming party and my friend was like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna take pictures. I'm gonna take pictures." And then after the party, she was like, "So actually, the only pictures I took were of like your tchotchkes." She called them like there's little like moments around my house. Like she actually took one picture that is like these two orange candles, and then behind it is Hedwig and the Angry Inch like VHS case that I have sort of like made into like a piece of decor. And she took a picture of that because it was like a moment. And then I also have these like silver hand, just little like f figurines that they're like beautiful and they're engraved. And I literally got them like out of a free box somewhere. And I was like, "These are beautiful." And my friend was like, "Oh, what do they do?" And I was like, "Nothing, nothing. They're just pretty. They're just on my table." But she like took a picture of them, like framed by like the weird like cloths I have and stuff. And I was like, "Actually, I approve of this. I approve of that." And then you and I have both talked about how we both have like gallery walls. I feel like that's kind of like tchotchke adjacent, where it's just like maximalism, maximalism. I'm a big maximalist.
I was just gonna say
Yeah.
that. Matt, the maximalist approach
Yeah.
is my approach for sure with everything. I do
Yeah.
have maybe like a little shopping addiction. But you know, it is what
That's
it is.
okay.
I could
It
just go
is what it
around
is.
my room and show you all my things, but we don't have time for that because
I know. Ah, we have things to
we have
do.
things. And
Yeah.
so, you know, we all have multiple coming out stories and multiple
We
coming into ourselves
do.
stories. And
Oh.
I would love to hold space for one, two, however many of those stories you'd like to share with us today.
Thank you. Yeah, so hold on. Excuse me, I burped. We can keep that in or not.
You're human. Let's keep it.
I am a human. Tchotchke pilled human. So I feel like I have kind of a unique coming out story slash experience, because I'll just preface this by saying that I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so I grew up in, very liberal bubble. You know, my grandparents were like members of the ACLU, and they like, my grandparents actually helped the first same-sex adoption in California happen. It was like a family friend's child, and they like testified in court saying like these people would be really good parents. And so there's a lot of like social justice like stuff in my like ex my like family lineage, basically, which I'm like so grateful for, but it also means I've sort of grown up in like a liberal bubble. But so I kind of never like came out, in air quotes. Like there was no moment where I like sat my family down and was like, "I'm queer." I kind of just like, when I was a teenager, like I had brought home some boys, and then basically one day I brought home a girl, and my mom was just like, "Oh, okay, like, all right," and that was that. I feel like it's very like, I mean, just unique, and I feel so like fortunate that I just didn't even really feel that, there were just kind of queer people around. Like half of my friends that I grew up with, whether they knew it or not at the time, but a lot of them did, were queer. And so for me, it wasn't, it didn't feel like a big deal. Like it didn't feel like this kind of, I mean, like internally it was like a big turning point, but I didn't have this kind of like, what's the word? Like I didn't have a big like inner conflict about it or even outer conflict. And my sister's also queer. Neither of us really like quote unquote came out. We just kind of like continued to live our lives. And thankfully my mom just was kind of like all right, cool. Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like more of the like inner conflicts with my queerness came like later on, strangely. I feel like I've been able to always just sort of like love who I love, which is a huge privilege, that I'm so grateful for. Yeah. And then we had kind of talked about this before. We had talked about talking about this, but I feel like one of the big moments in my life, because again, like there were just queer people like around, and you know, I would like go to SF Pride when I was like a teenager and stuff. Like it was just part of sort of my like world. But one of the first moments where I feel like I discovered like queer culture was when I was like dating my first girlfriend, and my sister showed me Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the movie. And I feel like that was the first time I really understood what like queer culture is, because I was watching this movie and I was like, I just feel like I just resonate with this so much. I feel like this connection to the music, to the costumes, to the people, like to the like vast like variety of like flavors of queerness kind of that are like present in that story. I also connected really deeply with the Origin of Love story, for those of you who like know the musical. But maybe for those who don't, I'll just like super super duper briefly like just like talk about it. Like there's a song in the movie that tells this story, and the story is actually from a it, the story is actually from Plato, and it's in his book The Symposium. But the story basically goes like way, way, way back in ancient times, one human was actually like two humans like fused together. So it was like one head with two faces on each side, four legs, four arms. And some of them were like a man and woman back to back. Some of them were two women, and some of them were two men back to back. But then they were really rowdy. So the gods got together and decided that to punish them, and their punishment was that Zeus like threw lightning bolts down and like sliced all of them in half. And then Osiris, the god of the Nile, came and like brought a huge flood and like washed them all away from each other. So basically what like quote unquote like love is according to the story is like you're always searching for like that person that you were like once connected to, like in like ancient times. And could be a man, could be a woman, could be a, you know, someone who doesn't conform to either of those. It could be, and yeah, someone who like I, if I had to like put a label on my like sexuality, it would be pan. So as someone who like identifies that way, I just like, I was just like, I fucking love this story so much. Like I just love the metaphor, and yeah, I just thought it was really beautiful. I may or may not have a tattoo about that, about Hedwig, and specifically that song, that story. Yeah. And so I think like especially as someone who just sort of like was queer and did and just sort of like be became queer as I came into myself, like that just discovering like that sort of world, maybe like, oh, this is actually kind of like a culture unto itself, and I'm actually part of this sort of like larger thing. And yeah, and what's interesting is like again, because again, I was just sort of like surrounded by queer people like growing up. I really never spent that much time seeking out like queer spaces, like in the way that we like understand that. Because again, like I always had like queer friends, and I would just like hang out with my friends. But yeah, I feel like as I got older, and I just sort of wasn't accustomed to like seeking out queer spaces. I also have a lot of kind of like hetero-coded like hobbies. Like Latin dance, for instance, is extremely heteronormative. You know, there's a leader and a follower, and traditionally the leader is a man. And like, you know, like there really weren't a lot of now in the last like 5 to 10 years, there is like a really wonderful burgeoning queer Afro-Latin dance community, but it's still pretty small. But when I was started out, that did not exist. And so I was just like in these hetero spaces. Also, like, to be quite honest, jazz is a lot of cis straight men, like for the most part. Like sometimes I'll be at like a jazz jam or something, I'm like the only woman or like one of the only women. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I have a lot of like hetero coded like interests, or like even like male coded interests. So yeah, and it really wasn't until I moved to New York, 7 years ago now, my anniversary is coming up in June, that I started, you know, I came here, I only knew two people here. I kind of had to like, you know, I basically started like a whole new life and like a whole new like social life. And it really wasn't until then that I was like, where are my queers? Like, they're not just like automatically around me all the time. And that is when I sort of started realizing like, oh, I have to really seek this out. And since I've kind of put more energy into just like entering queer spaces, like being in queer spaces and like intentionally seeking out queer people, I feel like it has just added such an amazing like dimension to my life. I feel like I've never felt more like myself. Like I've never felt more sort of like fulfilled, like socially. And it just puts like a little spring in my step almost, you know, to connect with like the queer community in a very like intentional way. Yeah, so it's been very magical, but it wasn't something that happened until like my 30s. So that's really interesting. Yeah, I feel like I have like I feel like it's a different story and a different timeline than a lot of people. Yeah. And again, I feel very like privileged and grateful that I've, you know, that I've kind of been able to just sort of exist as a queer person, haven't really had a lot of pushback, like haven't had any problems from my family. And yeah, it's a gift. It's really a gift. So yeah, that's kind of that.
That's nice. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I find like, seeking out queer community and being really intentional, it takes work, but like once you've like find your people, find your spaces, it's really, like you said, it's like, adds a spring to one step and it just feels really nice. And I mentioned in my intro that I started this queer improv show in 2015, and that just like, expanded from this one improv show a month to this like whole community of people who connect and are friends and hang out and date and break up and produce with each other and all these things. And it's really cool to bear witness to, of just like bringing together people who have just gone through similar life experiences. And that's like what is so special about, what was so special about the improv show was that it wasn't just like the token queer in the scene or in the team, like on the stage. It was everybody was queer. And so queerness was never the joke. It was always like the superpower of the scene. And that just
Oh,
like,
I like that.
it was really special. And it flipped the narrative of like what queerness can be, and what queerness is. And so I'm curious, you had mentioned
Yeah,
really
it's kind of
briefly.
like the central factor instead of like the exception.
Yeah, exactly. And so the format of the show was someone would tell a coming out or coming into self story, and then a group of queer improvisers would bring that story to life using details from the story. And people who like the monologists who would share their stories, almost always their feedback was like, I felt so held. I wasn't sure how improvisers would take details from my story, because my story like isn't funny or wasn't a good coming out. But I think that also adds to like, because everyone improvising was queer, is queer, We know how to take care of each other's stories and like know, have a sense of like what to pull on and what not to pull on and like what's sensitive and what's not. And it just was, it's like a really, it was really special. So,
That's
yeah.
beautiful. Yeah, I feel like there's also a sense of like, yeah, I mean, when I said like a spring in one step, I feel like another kind of like way of putting it almost is like breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
So I can see like, yeah, like entering into like an improv state where people are like acting, I mean, kind of like acting out like your coming out story, and you're kind of like, this is actually really sensitive for me. Like, I don't know, you know, how this is going to translate. But it's like, no, you're actually around people who like everyone understands. Like, everyone has been through like some form or like iteration of that. And, you know, even if it's like not fun and like not funny and kind of sad, there's even like some dark comedy that can be like infused into it, or like, I don't know, just like a shared understanding of each other, and yeah, taking care of each other, and even like injecting some levity into it, like and that can really be helpful, like for people's like, because it's a continuing journey, right? So even seeing like your own coming out story like played in this other way, like played by other people, and like seeing other people's interpretation, I don't know, I feel like it can be not just validating, but also like, yeah, life is crazy, man, and like, you know, life is crazy, being queer is crazy, it's not always easy, but like, we, you know, let's, yeah, there can still be some like lightness when we're around people who get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Exactly.
beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. I do I wanna ask you a question, which is
Yes.
you said you had inner conflicts later on. And I'm curious, like, what brought those about, what they were about, and how did you manage like resolving if or is it still a work in progress?
That's a really good question. So as like a cis person and as someone who is like more or less straight passing, you know, like I present, I mean, I'm kind of like a tomboy, but I'm, you know, but like I have long hair, like I present as like female, and I have dated like cis men. So I feel like there was a period of time where my queer identity was sort of like pushed to like the back burner, again, because I wasn't like seeking out like queer spaces, and I was around a lot of like straight people, like in my hobbies and stuff. And it's like, you know, I was always very open about my identity, but yeah, and I feel like, I mean, this is kind of more related to like, you know, my own like, I don't know, psychological like state and like mental health and stuff, but it's like, it's almost like it didn't always feel safe or even like relevant. Like, I kind of feel like because of the way I present, straight men like in my 20s and stuff would just sort of like the way I say it is like they just sort of would like happen to me. Like, I would be like pursued by like cis men. And then I would sort of be like, okay, yeah, let's like have a relationship and like see what that's like. But it was ultimately never very fulfilling. And I feel like you know, I had a couple of like serious relationships with cis men like in my 20s. And it's interesting because I feel like gradually my queerness sort of came back to the forefront because I realized I was like, I don't actually like want what these people want. And I feel like that's really a testament to the fact that like queerness is so much more than who you're attracted to. I feel like, you know, the like, you know, two or three like cis men that I was with who, you know, they all kind of had the same future that they envisioned. They all kind of were like, well, yeah, I mean, I think we'll move in together, eventually we'll get married, eventually we'll like have kids, and I always was like, I don't think I want that actually. And at first I was like, I don't want that with you, but later I realized, I was like, I don't really know if I want that at all, like in the way that like you want it. that very sort of like normative like track that people sort of get on, and that like cis straight people who were raised by cis straight people sort of just like assume, or that they're like, no, that's just like what you do. And for me, I was like, I is it though? Like I don't know. I think maybe I like want something else. And so then, when I started being more intentional about surrounding myself more with queer people, that's when I was like, oh, it's not just like some defect that I have. It's actually kind of part and parcel of like what being queer is all about. It's like questioning norms and not just doing the thing that like people say you're supposed to do just because you're supposed to do it. It's more, there's so much more space to like really interrogate, like, no, like, what do I want for myself? And it doesn't have to be what other people want. It might look like something different. There's a freedom in that. Yeah, but I also think that's true of queer people in a way that like maybe it isn't. Like, I think that, some of like the cis straight people I know, I think they feel like there's a freedom and a comfort in that reality, in the sort of like traditional, like traditional adult life, like reality. And I think a lot of people think, or I think a lot of people feel really happy and fulfilled by that. And that's completely valid. But then also there, but that's not me, and it's kind of never been me. And so it was really nice to, yeah, to just realize like, well, this isn't just some like weird thing that I'm not ready for. Like, I'm psychologically damaged, so I like don't want like, it's like, no, this is just like who I am. And that's, and there are a lot of other people who are like doing the same thing and like asking the same questions. And yeah, so that's been like very refreshing and like healing kind of for me. So I was like, wow, all my like, cis straight relationships, they kind of like didn't end well, or I just felt really, I just always kind of felt like things missing. And now that I date like exclusively within the queer community, whatever gender expression and whatever people have, there's, yeah, I just feel a lot more like just free, and like I have something in common with people. And a lot of queer people do choose that life. They do choose to settle down. They do choose to have children and buy a house. And like, but it's that's their choice, and they've thought it through, Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I remember just feeling like I had to like kind of stick to that cis straight narrative and feeling just so depressed by it and just so
Yeah.
uncomfortable and sad and angry. And I was like, I don't want any of that. And it's like, but I want like parts of this, like I want like a fulfilling relationship, but I don't want all this other stuff that doesn't suit me. And I never
Yeah.
understood or knew that I could pursue something outside of the box, outside of heteronormative, cisnormative structures. And so it has been like
Yeah.
super liberating to break free and just kind of make up my own rules as I go. And it's pretty great.
Yeah, and there's a way in which like it can be a patchwork, right? Like you can have some of those things if they fulfill you, and then you can also like skip over and or reject like other things. It's like it's not one whole package. Like you can create the life that you want in the way that you want. I don't know if the word like you can Frankenstein together like a happy life. By
Yeah.
just like picking the parts you want. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And like you're gonna find people who are doing the same thing, who are like also kind of Frankensteining their lives in the most like lovely, positive, non-monster way.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, it's freeing, it's liberating. Yeah, it's like that sigh of relief where you're like, oh my God, actually, like I can do whatever I want in this life.
Yeah, it's really nice. Really, very nice.
Yeah.
So speaking of like queer spaces and being really intentional about being in them and creating them, you have created Dine well, fine dining.
Yes.
So, what is that? And how can we get involved with it?
Oh my God. Well, so the background kind of, so okay, my day job is I'm a private chef. So I work for like really, really super wealthy people in their homes. It's actually a fabulous job that I love and that I am pretty well suited for because of like my personality and like, you know, I never want to set foot in a restaurant kitchen ever again and stuff like that. But so the Supper Club actually started as kind of like the Kayla show. Because what I really wanted was, you know, I feel really passionately about like breaking out of the noise. It's so interesting because like even from the first like stage of it, even though it wasn't like quote unquote like a queer thing yet, it started from like kind of like a queer concept, which is like I wanted to do a supper club where I was making my food. I love to do fancy plated tweezer food. Like I find it like really fun and super creative. But I really like I knew that there were a lot of supper clubs out there, you know, run by men, run by kind of like chef bros who come from like restaurant lineages and, you know, doing a lot of things like foams and sous vide this and this French thing and like that classical technique. But that's really not how I cook. It's not how I It's not where I derive joy. And there is also this kind of like, you know, in kitchen culture, in culinary culture, there's this kind of like chef bro-esque like norm, if that makes sense. A lot of ego, a lot of kind of like glory and suffering, a lot of kind of like there's one right way to do it, and I'm so at doing it in that one way, and I'm like better than you and I know more than you. That might be kind of like a harsh way of describing it, but like as a queer woman in culinary, that is a lot of what I had like have experienced. So I wanted to do something where I was like, no, my food, my way. And so basically at first the supper club was like just me doing like 4 or 5 courses, and then my friend would do like pastry. And but also because I'm like a little social justice like girly, every dinner had like a theme. So like the very first one we did was centered around cuisines that are not typically like acknowledged in a fine dining concept. So I did like a Cambodian like Khmer inspired course, and then I did a Persian course because I love those cuisines so much. And then I also did like what I call like a native Mesoamerican course, where it's like all the like because a lot of like, you know, Mexican like Mesoamerican cuisines involves a lot of ingredients that were brought by like, you know, Europeans. But I wanted to feature stuff that was like specifically like ingredients that were like native to that region. So and I'm also just like that kind of dork where I love like researching and like learning about like you know like traditional in a sort of like historical sense of like ingredients, techniques, like dishes. And then we did another one. Well, we actually did a whole dinner that was just that it was for Dia de los Muertos, where the entire dinner was just that, like just ingredients like native to like Central America, basically. And that was really lovely. And then we did another one on like American classic comfort foods that actually have immigrant origins. So we did like a I did deconstructed pastrami kreplach, which was really cool. And then we did like, what else do we do? Cioppino, which is kind of like a San Francisco like staple, but it was like made by like Italian immigrant like dock workers, as like their kind of like family meal. Like, you know, they would be working and they would all, but there would be this like pot like on the dock with like fire underneath it, and like whatever you were catching, you would put a little bit in the pot, and that would become this kind of like communal like stew or soup. So I love that kind of shit. Like I just, yeah. But so then for Pride, one year, I was like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm tired of doing all this cooking and all this organizing. It's so much work. I love it, but like it's also exhausting and kind of a lot for me. So for Pride, I was like, you know what? Let's bring in some guest chefs from like the New York like queer community and make my life easier because I only do like one course, and then everyone else does it, you know, and we'll talk about queer food, which is this kind of like newer concept. Like it has sort of like the word queer food has sort of become part of the cultural zeitgeist like fairly recently. So I was like, let's do, you know, a supper club around queer food, and everyone can kind of like make a dish that, you know, like represents queer food to them, and they can get up in front of the diners and talk about it. And it was just so fun and so well received, and it was so gratifying for me to actually like collaborate in that way, because I can carry the whole thing, like I can, but I don't have to. So and it was so perfect. It was like such a lovely, like perfect night that I was like, I think we're just gonna do this from now on. So that's kind of how it started. And it's also really fascinating because pretty much as soon as I like switched it up like to this model, the whole like Dine Well Supper Club has almost, I feel like it has kind of taken on a life of its own. It's like, yes, I'm in charge, but all these people have come out of the woodwork. Finding me on Instagram, like a friend of a friend, people emailing me out of nowhere, wanting to be involved. And it's so incredible. And I feel like it has so much kind of like momentum behind it that like I didn't even do. Like I didn't even really create that. It's kind of become almost like a community like project in a way. And I feel like it's such a testament to the fact where like, I don't know, I think about this a lot where there's so much power in just like being who you are and infusing that into your work, and how, you know, it doesn't have to look like everyone else. Like you don't have to do it like everyone else. If you break the mold and just kind of come from a really authentic place, like it really does resonate with people. And there's like a depth and like an opportunity for like real connection, genuine connection. When you're not trying to be something you're not, and you're not trying to do something that you think you're supposed to do, or it has to look like a certain thing. Because yeah, the minute I was like, no, we're just gonna like base this off of like queerness and like my relationship with queerness and then everyone else's relationship to queerness, it just took off. And yeah, I just think it's such a good lesson, that like just like being your authentic self, especially in like a creative field like this, that's really like the special secret sauce. And yeah, it's been so wonderful. So we have one coming up July 11th. We took like, by we, I mean me, by the way. Me, myself, and I. Also, it's funny because my astrology is terrifying. I am a quadruple Gemini.
What does that
And then I have
mean?
Sagittarius rising. Oh my God, what does it mean? So basically, I have Sagittarius rising, but then I have Gemini in Sun, Moon, Mercury, and Venus, and then also like one of the houses, because like everyone has like Gemini in one of their houses. But so it's funny because like whenever I say like, oh, we this, we that, I'm like, gosh, my fucking Gemini like self being like, oh, how many of us are there actually in here? That's also, as kind of an aside, that is also why I seem so extroverted, because I just have so much goddamn fucking Gemini in me, and then I have Sagittarius rising, which, you know, the astrology queers will know exactly what I'm talking
I'm not one of them. I
about.
have no clue what you're talking
You
about.
really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you have so much to learn, Dubs. Okay, we will have an aside after this. Also, it's fine if you're not into it, it's totally fine, but it's really fun. Anyway, what was I saying? Where did I? What were we talking about?
Because you're talking about July 11th and we
Oh
something,
yeah.
and then
July 11th, which is me, myself, and I, and all the different Geminis, like parts of me, but also all the people who like want to be involved. I mean, I kind of like just started planning it, and I already have like a slate of like it's done. Like I know who's gonna be in it. And people who've been like stoked, and they're like, oh, my friend told me about this, or like, my friend went to it and said it, or even like my friends have kind of like, talked about it in passing, and then other pe and people are like, oh my God, that's so cool, like I want to be involved. And even some like straight allies have been like, I want to be involved, like do you need a server, like do you need like I want to help prep or something like that. And it's just been so cool. Yeah, so it's also wonderful because it kind of has this sense of momentum. It feels like it's kind of happening by itself. Like, yes, I'm doing all this work behind it, but the work is very joyful because I truly enjoy this. And oh, sorry, something just happened outside my door. I don't know. Yeah, so it feels easy. It's like it feels like there's like a flow to it. Like we've reached flow state, and isn't that kind of what we all like want, for our work, is for it to just feel effortless, and that we can just do it with joy and passion, and without feeling like it's being forced. So it's just been such a wonderful gift. And I named it Dine Well because I already had this Substack. It was called Dine Well, and it's called Dine Well because of a Virginia Woolf quote, another queer person in our lineage. But she has this quote that says, "One cannot think well, sleep." Wait, hold on. One cannot. Shit. One cannot think well, love well, sleep well if one has not dined well. And isn't that just the truth? And food, like queerness, is just sort of this like universal language, and this thing that we there's emotion in it, there's passion in it, there's an expansive quality to it, because it's like, food is something that people are passionate like all over the world, and it looks like so many different things, depending on where you are and who you are. And I don't know, it's just been so lovely. And I kind of feel like that we're like just getting started in a way. I feel like the sky's the limit. Which is like a really, really fucking good feeling. So yeah, July 11th. Haven't like started like advertising or anything yet, because it feels really far away, but it's not. It's gonna be here before we know it, I'm sure.
That's exciting. Both that you have an event coming up and just how everything had kind of has come together to make this really special place where folks can connect over food that has been made with love. Is
Yeah,
really
truly
sweet.
with love.
I admittedly was not someone who cooked most of my life, and then the last like year I was like, why? So I've just like started cooking, and
How's it going?
it's I think it's going well. I can make some things that taste really good, and then I can make some things that I'm like, probably wouldn't share this with anyone else, but I can eat it, you know? But it takes effort to make things that are good. And so it's like when people present you with food, it's like, I actually like made this with love. Like I care about you, and so I made this thing. It took time and effort and planning, and I never quite fully grasped. I'm in my early 40s, and I feel like I'm just now grasping like what it is to dance, what it is to cook, like what are all of these things. I feel like I was just kind of in a mummy state or like in a zombie state, just kind of like kind of like the bad kind of flow, like you said, like you're in this like flow state, which is like a good thing. I think for me, I kind of was just for a long time just like gliding through life and letting it happen and not really taking control over certain aspects. And
I
Interesting.
think
like I just like in 2020 I stopped drinking, and so I've really been able to like be present with life around me in a way that I never had before, and so that's helped me kind of like start to understand life and different facets and facets in a different way, including
I
just
love
like
that.
discovering things that, for myself, like obviously they've all been discovered. Like, people have been dancing since the beginning of time, but like for
What?
my yeah, but
What is this dancing you speak of?
like right, like I don't want to Christopher Columbus things that are obviously around, but for myself, I've been discovering like what things mean and like the intention behind them, and the also the like the opportunity to like show love through cooking or feeding, like through my job at work. Like a lot of times we will put food together for like community fridges or pantries or pack kits for unhoused folks or like whatever it might be. It's like we are doing this intentionally and with love to care for our neighbors. So I don't know. It's just
Yeah.
it's nice. It's really lovely that
Yeah.
you're
And
creating
also, I
space.
mean, both of those things that you're talking, like, I mean, just dancing and cooking, like, those are both creative and artistic, like, outlets. And they're also, I feel like also, I mean, cooking as well as dancing, et cetera, like, it's a practice. Like, it's something that you can do forever and you can continue to hone your skills. And anyone who says they're like a master is, you know, that like that's kind of a fallacy, right? Because there's an infinite like wealth of knowledge out there that you could literally spend your entire life like doing nothing but cooking and you still won't know everything. And so it's like yeah, and like not everyone likes cooking. Just like not everyone likes dancing, which I'm like, how is that possible? But like it's true and not everyone derives joy from it and like that's totally fine. But yeah, it's like it's possible to derive so much joy from it and to also make it, yeah, just something that you kind of like practice every day, or you get a book on it, or you talk to friends about it, and you know, we all need to eat. So it's like we kind of might as well like try to imbue as much creativity and happiness and like humanness into it. I mean, again, this is sort of touching back on like what I was saying before, where it's like just do your hobbies and be bad at them, and like how like things like dance and painting and music and cooking are things that humans have done for millions of bajillions of years. Very scientific quantity right there. But it's like it's deeply human to like cook with fire, you know, to like use heat, to like make an alchemical process to like take a raw ingredient and like make it into something else. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I actually am gonna go to my kitchen briefly because I have this thing framed on my wall, and if I can find who originally wrote it, I will let you know because it was literally just like some random person on Instagram, and I was like, who wrote this? And I was like, I fucking love this so much. Like, can I please like use this? And they ended up making little like cards with it. It's like one basically. And I got one and it is framed in my kitchen and it says, I made your favorite dish. I made you something you've never tried before. I love you. I spent 20 minutes chopping. My grandmother made this for me when I was little. I made this dairy-free for you. I love you. I want to eat together. The onions made me cry. I love you. I learned this recipe for you. I love you. I made this special for your birthday. I love you. I know you don't like peppers. I love you. I love you. I love you.
That's so sweet.
Kind of like tearing up. It's like weird. Just like an emotional little baby today. Yeah, but I mean, I was like, I want that sentiment forever. I want it on my wall. I want to like, this is how I want to like live my life and do my work, is with love. I also feel like it's such a gift. Like, I love my job, Not a lot of people can say that. I am truly doing like one of my favorite things in the entire world for a living. And like what a pleasure and what a privilege to be able to like truly do it with love. That's actually another cool thing about working in the private, like being like a private chef, because the family I'm with now, I've been with them for over 4 years, and they're a family, and I've gotten to know them, and I've met their relatives, and they know when my birthday is, and like it's possible to become sort of like a what's the word? Not tangential, but kind of like an auxiliary, like part of their family. But you get to know them, and you get to know their tastes, you get to know their likes and dislikes, you get to know their allergies, you get to know how their tastes change. And it's a real relationship in a way that when you're just working back of house, like in a restaurant or something, where you may never even meet the people who are cooking your food. But in like my particular line of work, like I do. They have an open kitchen. I watch them eat it. I watch them enjoy it. Like they give, and it's really gratifying. And it's also fun to like just, I don't make just one menu, like in a restaurant or in like a catering thing. It's like you kind of make the same stuff like over and over again, but I get to make within parameters of like what they like. I kind of get to do like whatever I want. Like at this point, they don't really talk to me about menu. I just kind of know what they like, and I mean, like today, so I'm going to work after this, but I'm just making a meal that I've made before and that I know they love. And it's going to be like a lemon saffron chicken, and I'm going to like braise some tomatoes with it, and then I'm going to toast some almonds on top of it, and then I'm going to make them like a big salad with all the stuff they love. I'm going to like fry some paneer because they love like halloumi and cheese and stuff in it. And then I'm doing like I mean, the technical term is like a tariq, but it's basically just like rice that then gets like crisped like on the bottom. And I mean, so even from there, I'm pulling from like a tadik is like a Persian, kind of like that area of the world, like technique. And then I'm pulling from, a kind of Middle Eastern, like with saffron and lemon and almond, and then paneer is Indian, and then I'm doing fresh asparagus because it's spring. And I don't know. It's just there's a real like joy in it for me. And I'm also just very fortunate that like those are my clients and that they like kind of let me do whatever I want. I've been very fortunate. Like I feel like living in, I don't know, like it really is. I really do think it's true that gratitude is kind of like, if not the secret, like one of the secrets like to happiness. And I feel fortunate that like I can experience gratitude like in my professional life. Lucky me. And I want it for everyone. I just like I want this for everyone, and like I want to help create a world where like everyone can do that. And I love that about the supper club, because like some of the people who like some of the people who come and are cooking are not professional. Like are not professional culinary people. They're just people who like fucking love food, love cooking, are really good at what they do, and want a place to share it with people. And there are other people who like are restaurant professionals, but this is their opportunity to kind of like break out of like their day to day and make like their food, I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. To get to do what to get to do what you love, is really it's a blessing. It's nice. It's the
It's
dream.
a blessing. It's a blessing. Yeah. I actually do want to talk a little bit about like the idea of queer food. Because once again, that's kind of been like a sort of like a nebula. I know we're like going over. Is that okay? Are we fine
Let's I think
time-wise?
if we just like maybe like a 2 or 2 minute convo about queer food, and then we'll close out.
We can also skip it. It's fine. I feel like we've talked about a lot. This would be more of like it's more kind of like an academic thing. We don't need to talk about it. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's also a world where if you want to send me like a line or two about queer food that you like, if there's something you want to make sure it gets said, I can put that in the caption.
Actually, I think I'll just say like one little soundbite about it. And that's that like queer food is a very interesting concept because it's a cultural cuisine, like more or less, you know, but it's I mean it's like cultural food, but it's not tied to any ethnicity, any like place in the world, any religion, any like you know, place, or in a way that like a lot of other like cuisines are. It's tied to identity. And so then it's like a lot of it is more just like anything that's breaking out of like normative expression is queer food. Anything made by queer people where queer people are eating it, like that's queer food. You know, the people who like, for instance, like, you know, like the lesbian community went during the AIDS crisis was like, you know, doing a lot of cooking and caretaking for like, you know, the gay men with AIDS, whose families abandoned them. That's such a good example of queer food, or like, you know, when people were organizing during Stonewall, like what they were eating as they were like painting signs and organizing, like that's queer food. And then also like just a dinner party where queer chefs get to make whatever they want and talk about it and have like, you know, mostly queer diners, like that's queer food. Drag brunch is also queer food. So I guess I just wanted to like say that. So I think queer food is kind of, it's kind of like a nebulous concept. And I've definitely read some Instagram comments where people are like, oh, like even food is gay now, like whatever, like, you know. And it's like, dude, like shut the fuck up, first of all. Second of all, like just like think for a second, like think for a second about like what that could mean. And yeah, it's a beautiful, expansive concept. So yeah, I guess I just wanted to say that.
I'm glad that you helped clarify what queer food is, because I'm sure some people were wondering
Yeah.
what exactly it is. And also, for the record, I think food is gay. So
Food is canonically gay. I think we can all agree on
I
that.
think so. So I hate to do this, but I have to
Yes,
move us to our
of
lightning
course.
round of questions.
Let's do it. Bring it
So
on.
I'm gonna bring it on. I gotta tell you that most lightning round questions are easy, either or questions. I was called in lovingly a few seasons ago that my lightning round questions were too binary. One of which was dogs or cats. So I get it. You can't pick one or the other. So these are open-ended.
Sophie's
So it,
choice.
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it makes it slightly harder to answer, but again, it's all just for fun. So are you ready?
I'm ready. It's going to be fun. I'm ready for fun.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Your favorite place to think?
Whoa. Right now, I have a little like outside area. In front of my house, I have, it's almost like a little like porch, like patio thing. Right now, that's probably my favorite place to think. Also, anywhere near a body of water, the ocean, the river, a creek. Yeah, definitely my favorite place to think.
Yes, bodies of water
Good
are
question.
dope. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who is an influential queer person in your life?
In my life, actually, I have a friend who founded Outbox, which you might know. Do you know it's a, it was in Williamsburg, it's now in Bushwick. My friend Max Adler, he founded it, he runs it. And it's a queer boxing gym for those of you who don't know it. And I just am so impressed with him and what he's accomplished and what he's built, and he's really built an incredible community. And yeah, that's the first person who comes to mind. There are a lot, you know, but he's really kind of become like a leader and a pillar like in the community, and I'm just like so proud of him. So yeah.
Amazing. I've taken one class there, but
Really?
yep. Okay, so what is a song that you can listen to on repeat forever?
Shit. So many, because I'm kind of like a music dork. More like, what can I listen to on repeat like right now?
Yeah.
And it's actually anything by The Beaches. Do you know The Beaches? They're a Canadian like queer lady band. They recently did a song with G Flip called Les Go, LEZ Go. And I have like a really eclectic music taste, but that's kind of like fun, upbeat, pop punk, like, and right now that's been like blasting in my headphones like basically 24/7. So yeah. Jazz
Okay.
nerd and also lesbian pop punk nerd.
We contain multitudes.
We sure do.
What's one thing you want to be known for?
Whoa, these are such good questions.
Thank you.
I feel like I want to be known for, I guess in a way like professional, you know, I feel like my professional like food life is also sort of like, for lack of a better word, my like life purpose. So I feel like I definitely want to be known for like spreading joy and also information and love and through food. Yeah, and I think I just want to like live a really good life where I like, yeah, spreading love. Is that cheesy?
Yeah, but who
I
doesn't
mean,
love a
like,
little
yes,
cheese?
it is. Yeah. I love cheese. Okay,
Yeah,
cool. Oh, that's, yeah, that's cute
that's
of
very
me
nice.
to say.
Okay, so think of a concert you'd love to go to. What is it? Just real quick.
I have been in love with Billie Eilish for many years, and she's kind of embarrassingly my celebrity crush, though she's like way too young for me, but like I would love to see her live. Love.
Great. So let's say you're at a Billie Eilish concert. Which song are you going to leave to go to the bathroom?
Probably Bad Guy, like the big hit, because I just like don't need to hear that anymore. I love like the deeper cuts, like the more emotional, like, yeah, she's just a beautiful singer, voice of an angel, but I don't need to hear that song anymore.
Okay, that's your bathroom song.
These
And
are such good questions.
it's almost like I've been doing this for almost a decade.
It's almost
Right?
like
Yeah.
that.
Where do you find the most joy?
Whoa. Really doing any of my like creative hobbies. I feel like that's the most when I'm, for lack of a better word, like in my body. And like in myself and like a sense of like expression. So cooking is definitely part of that, but like also like dance, music, yeah, anything where I'm engaging in like self-expression.
Love that. Okay, last
Yeah.
question. Are you ready?
Ready.
Bagels or donuts?
Whoa, you're really pulling out all the stops here.
I know.
Bagels, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish. I'm also like I'm more of a savory person than a sweet person. Like, give me a carby, fatty, cheesy thing any day, or sugar, sadly. Bagels,
Yeah.
full stop.
There
Yeah.
generally aren't right or wrong answers, but bagels is the right answer.
That's the right answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Kayla, this has
Thank
been
you.
so
I appreciate
lovely.
that.
Yeah, of course. I'm just so happy that
It really
we made this
has.
happen. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing
Me
and thank you for
too.
coming out.
Thank you for having me come out with you. No, this has really been lovely. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for coming out.